This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And here are Wednesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 472.5, up 2.75. September corn, 469.25, up 3. December corn, 469.5, up 3.75. July soybeans, 1497.75, up 9. August soybeans, 1428.25, up 9.5. September soybeans, 1294.75, up 3.25. July wheat, 638.75, down 2.25. September wheat, 650.5, down 2.5. December wheat, 670, down 2.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reeson. This is Wednesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Wednesday afternoon. Soybeans found strength in tight supplies of old crop soybeans, and technical trading kept corn on the positive side. With three quarters of the spring wheat planted, wheat closed on a negative note. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 5 cents higher at 443 to 476. Soybean bids were 10 cents higher at 1487 to 1511. In the central part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn up 3 to 4 cents at 441 to 473, and soybeans were up 9 cents at 1492 to 1528. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 to 3 cents higher at 456 to 490. Soybean bids were up 9 cents at 1497 to 1527, and wheat bids were down 2 cents at 605 to 636. Now, from the Illinois Soybean Processors Cash Soybean Bids, they were up 9 to 13 cents at 1527 to 1563. But unchanged, the basis was unchanged to 4 higher at 29 to 65 over the July. High-pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $523.50 to $539.50 per ton, and that was up $4.30, with the basis unchanged at 25 to 41 over the July. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 3 cents higher at $4.71 to $4.89. with the basis unchanged at 2 under to 16 over the July. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids up 4 cents at 481 to 484, with the basis one higher at 8 to 11 over the July. Soybeans ended up 9 to 10 cents higher at 1513 to 1517, with the basis steady to one higher at 15 to 19 over the July. New crop wheat prices were 1 to 2 cents lower at 613 to 619, with the basis steady to one higher at 20 to 26 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 3 to 4 cents higher, 505 to 506. These elevators raised their soybean prices 9 to 10 cents, with quotations of 1533 to 1542, and soft wheat closed 2 cents higher at 643 to 645. Milo ended the day 3 cents higher at 488 to 498. Now on to the contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In northern and western Illinois, corn was 432 to 445, and soybeans 1203 to 1230. In the central part of the state, corn was 429 to 450, and soybeans were 1201 to 1225. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 426 to 450, soybeans 1213 to 1232, and wheat was 608 to 630. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Wednesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 136.15, up 55 cents. August live cattle, 137.10, up 35 cents. October live cattle, 141.32, up 65 cents. August feeder cattle, 195.57, up $2.07. September feeder cattle, 196.50, up $1.70. October feeder cattle, 196.65, up $1.77. June lean hogs, 114.55, down $1.95. July lean hogs, 121.27, down $2.15. August lean hogs, 124.77, down $2.02. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday the 28th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 3 cents higher in the range of 104.95 to 105.01, with a weighted average price of 104.97. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading mixed, at a dollar lower for the lighter sows and $2 higher for the heavier sows. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 68 to 76, 4 to 5 weights 73 to 78, 5 to 6 weights 77 to 82, and 6 weights and up 79 to 85. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points are trading a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $75 to $78. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 12,694 head. And now for the report from the United Producers Livestock Auction for May 27th. They had receipts of 577 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 148 to 153. Select and choice steers, 140 to 147. Select steers were 128 to 139. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 137 to 147.75, and select Holstein steers, 131.50 to 137, with select Holstein steers, 124 to 131. Choice slaughter heifers were 147.50 to 151.75, select and choice heifers, 140 to 147, and select heifers, 130 to 135. Now on to the feeder steers. Three weights were bringing 201 to 211. Four weights were 185 to 190. And some five weights brought 198. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones. Three weights, 194.50 to 207. Four weights were 211. And five weights were bringing 200. On to feeder bulls, they had some three weights go 201 to 210, and four weights at 200 to 211. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 143 to 148.50, and on a dress basis at 232. Heifers on a live basis traded at 143 to 144.50, and no reportable trade on a dress basis. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, retail and processing cuts were established with 455 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 115.25, and that was 236 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $234.31, that was $1.19 higher, with select carcasses at $224.15, and that was $1.50 higher. For the estimated slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at $119,000, that compared to $117,000 last week and $127,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at $421,000, that compared to $406,000 last week and $427,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. May corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.81. June corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.80. May corn delivered to Scottville, $4.72. June corn delivered to Scottville, $4.71. May and June beans delivered to Greenfield, $15.10. May and June beans delivered to Scottville, $14.99. May wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.09. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $4.81, corn at Scottville is $4.72, beans at Greenfield are $15.10, beans at Scottville are $14.99, and wheat at Scottville is $6.09. And now for your weekly crop and weather report. Warm temperatures allowed soybean planting to reach 64% complete, 28 percent points above the previous week. Other activities included spraying chemicals and cutting hay. There were scattered storms throughout the state, including some hail in the northwest, but overall conditions were warm and humid. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.19 inches, 0.74 inches below normal. Temperatures averaged 67.1 degrees, 1.7 degrees above normal. There were 5 days suitable for field work. Corn planting increased to 95% complete, ahead of the 5-year average of 88%. Oat and sorghum planting progressed to 90 and 35% complete, respectively. Winter wheat headed reached 81%, behind the 5-year average of 85%. Topsoil moisture was rated at 1% very short, 12% short, 76% adequate, and 11% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 4% very short, 20% short, 72% adequate, and 4% surplus. Winter wheat condition was rated at 2% very poor, 6% poor, 27% fair, 47% good, and 18% excellent. Pasture condition was rated at 1% very poor, 4% poor, 34% fair, and 42% good, and 19% excellent. John Nolan, County Executive Director for the Macoupin County Farm Service Agency Office, wishes to remind farmers that the final crop reporting deadline for spring planted crops and CRP acres is Tuesday, July 15th. To be ready to report your crop acreage to FSA, you will need to provide planting dates and crop shares for the crops you report and have your crops planted. In addition, CCC 576, Notice of Loss, must be filed for failed acreage before disposition of the crop. No late filed period exists for failed acres after disposition of the crop. Also, prevented planted acres must be reported to FSA on a CCC 576 no later than 15 calendar days after the final planting date. Producers who file accurate and timely reports for all crops and land uses, including failed and prevented acreage, can prevent the potential loss of FSA program benefits. Acreage reports are required for many Farm Service Agency programs, including CRP, marketing loans, and commodity programs. Acreage certification is on a first-come, first-serve basis. No appointment is necessary to report crop acres. However, please don't delay to timely report crop acres to FSA to avoid long lines and delays at the end of the crop reporting period. For any questions on crop reporting and prevented and failed crop acreage, you can contact the Macoupin County Farm Service Agency at 217-854-2626. Planting is wrapping up as many farmers in the area finish putting in soybean acres. I spoke with Jerry Rotman of the M&M Service Company for a look at how the crops are progressing in the area.
Well, all of our corn is planted. Most of it's in the V2 to V4 stage. A week or two, it looked better than it does today. For the most part, we have excellent stands. We've had very little replanting. We expected more. The April 20th, 23rd planting had a very tough time. We had saturated soils. We had some compaction issues. We had a lot of fluctuations in temperatures over the last month. We went from the 30s to the 90s. So that was tough on that corn. It took a long time for some of it to come up. The plant has been feeding off the kernel, but now it's transitioning to feeding off its nodal root system, and that's why it don't look as pretty today as it did a week or two ago. the stressors like compaction, saturated soils, make that transition more difficult. So the corn don't look as good today, but it'll get over that. The root system will develop in starter fertilizer, some kind of broadcast nitrogen, whether that be DAP or urea, 28% with herbicides or AMS, all of those products would help at this point because it gives a more available source of nitrogen for the corn and gets it to that nodal root system development stage better. So I think the corn will be better in a week or two. The soybeans are 90% planted. Our earliest beans are in the VC stage. The unifoliate leaves have expanded. In general, we have very good stands on those early beans. Both Sunday and Monday of this week, our rainfall in Madison County varied from 0 to 2-inch downpours. And there's going to be emergence issues where we had 2 inches this week. And it'll be a week or two before we find out what we have. Finished spraying our wheat fungicides on May the 22nd, which is the same as 2013. So we have normal wheat development. We expected wheat to be a lot poorer looking and a lot later because we had a dry fall and a cold winter. But it looks pretty good right now. There's some armyworms in most every field. They aren't a disaster yet, but there are some present. We've had very few cutworm issues. Not to say that there aren't some out there, but a lot of guys use the pyrethroid insecticide with their herbicide to mitigate that problem. We have some stresses from herbicide application, but that's complicated by compaction or saturated soil. So that's another stressor or an issue that's present in some fields, and we don't have the answer for everything. But that's pretty well what's going on so far.
And as we look forward into the growing season, what would you say are some of the main things that farmers are really going to want to keep an eye on?
Farmers can plant faster than we can spray fields. They can plant when the winds are 20 or 30 miles an hour. We can't do that. So we've got fields that have been planted in the fall, applied herbicide fields, and there weren't herbicides put on this spring because they were in a hurry to get them planted. We also have fields that were not able to be sprayed with a pre-emergent herbicide. It's important to have a pre-emergent herbicide down because we've got resistance issues with water hemp. I was in fields yesterday that's got mare's tail. Mare's tail's been very difficult to control, so young weeds, we can sit here and say they don't look very bad, but we're going to have some issues with some bean fields on weeds, more so than corn. So that's my greatest concern, is controlling weeds on some of these fields. So we're going to have to be vigilant and work hard at that. And always we have to be aware of armyworms, cutworms, and those kind of issues. But weeds is my greatest concern right now.
And weeds is a very good point. And you said it, when they're little like this, they don't look all that scary. But then you have to think about how fast they can grow.
That's right. Grow in a hurry.
Again, that was Jerry Rotman with the M&M Service Company. Yesterday was the Southern Illinois Wheat Tour, which toured 19 counties in southern and south central Illinois. I spoke with Mark Miller of Manel Milling Company, who was with the tour and looked at a few counties in our listening area.
It went very well. The weather was perfect, not too hot. We were able to visit about a dozen or a little more than a dozen fields today, and kind of liked what I saw.
And there were a lot of different groups going to a lot of different counties. What were the counties that you covered?
I visited fields in Macoupin, Madison, Bond, and Montgomery.
What would you say were the high points and the low points in terms of how the fields looked?
I think it was mostly high points. I thought the fields looked great. You could tell that we've got some more intensive management going on out there in most fields. We did see, you know, an occasional field that didn't look so good. One had a lot of grass in it. And then we did see one that had some evidence of scab showing up. But for the most part, 85-90% of the fields all looked really good.
And I heard that there was some difference in head size noticed throughout the tours. Did you notice that in the fields that you went and saw?
I think, yeah, to some degree there was some difference in head size. Some of the probably later tillers had some small heads. They were a little further down in the canopy, but all the heads that were at the top of the canopy, I think, were all pretty good shape. As usual, though, it goes with variety and the growing conditions. So variability in head size is probably a thing you're going to see every year.
When looking out at the fields, did you do an average of what you think that they're going to yield?
Oh, well, we made our head counts and turned them in. I'm not exactly sure how our numbers turned out, but one of the counties mentioned, I think, Bond County was one of those in the 70 bushel range. We had hit two fields in that county, so I don't know if that accounts for it all. I would say that, you know, we're probably right there in the middle.
All right. And when you're looking at other years, have you been on the tour other years before?
Yeah, I think this is my seventh or eighth year, maybe longer than that. So I would say that if you compare it to other years, that I think this crop looks just about as good as any of them right now.
Sounds great. I know a lot of people were worried about it with the harsh winter, but are you saying no need to worry maybe?
You know, the harsh winter, I thought actually I wasn't that worried about it because we didn't freeze and thaw. And when we did come out of winter, we had a cool spring, so to speak. So I thought that the weather was actually good for the wheat crop. So, yeah, I think we're going to be in good shape if we can get it home by harvest. That's the big thing.
That is always the key. Well, Mark, is there anything you want to add before we go here today?
The only thing, support your local wheat association. I think this is a valuable thing. We've seen it year after year now. And the Wheat Association provides some good support for the farmer and encourage everybody to take a look at the website and maybe participate as a member.
Again, that was Mark Miller with the Minnell Milling Company speaking about the Southern Illinois Wheat Tour. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.